Hello, and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. I'm here today with Kevin Beatty. He's the head of M. Damon. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mike. Good to be with you.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about M. Damon, your partner network, that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, I'm the Vice President of Marketing and Business Development at M. Damon Technologies. We were formerly Alt-N Technologies when we were started about 20 years ago, and I'm one of the business partners here. We've been and still provide email software and email gateway software in either on-premise, hosted, or SaaS for MSPs around the globe. About 146 countries is where we do business. And we have a lot of channel partners in many of those countries, ranging from large multi-line distributors to smaller consultants and smaller, more focused resellers. So we've got a pretty good network across the globe. We have had that for the past 20 years, and we like to keep in touch with them and see what's going on, especially in this environment.
Yeah, very definitely. So when did your various internal and partner operations first get impacted by the COVID-19 shutdowns, stay-at-home orders, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, it probably when we really formalized things was early March. We'd been kind of watching things, particularly because we've got a few business partners in China. And obviously where it started there, we were kind of monitoring what was going on. And then as things started to spread into Europe, Italy in particular, where we have a really strong partner we've had for the last 20 years, talking to them and hearing what was going on. And as we just kept watching the news and talking to partners, we knew that, you know, it was going to impact us here in the States and in Texas in particular, where we're headquartered. So we started making plans from that standpoint, and it didn't really impact us terribly, in the sense that we have a lot of our folks work remotely a couple of times during the week, just for, you know, cutting down on traffic, things like that. So making the transition to a full remote workforce was basically something we were able to do rather quickly. And that helped quite a bit.
Had you planned for this, or was this just the way you normally do business?
It's really the way we normally do business. We try to be very flexible with the employees, and here in the DFW area, you know, for commuting and things like that, and flexibility for employees. We've had kind of remote working operations in place. A lot of the developers, they like to work at different hours, and so a lot of them will work remotely as well. So we've been set up with this kind of environment for many years now, and really just needed to, you know, flip the switch to make sure everybody was set up, was able to remote in and do all the things they needed to do without disrupting the business.
Mm-hmm. So I know you do a lot of international travel. How has the inability to travel, particularly to international destinations, affected how you're doing business today?
Well, I think like most businesses, and just as humans, you know, that face-to-face interaction is always important. And a lot of times when we do travel, it's for particular events that either we're doing or we have our partners. They may be doing an event that we'll participate in with some of their other vendors. So that's been a little different, in the sense that, you know, we've obviously had to put a lot of these things on hold. I know, talking in particular to our partners in Italy that tend to do road shows every year, the same with the folks in France, they've had to move to kind of a virtual environment to do some of these events. And surprisingly, they've seen a lot of participation. And I guess, well, when I think about it, I guess it's not that surprising, since everyone's locked down in a lot of places. But it hasn't impacted their ability to communicate and share information with customers and their channel in the ways that maybe some people would think with, you know, other type of businesses. So from, I guess, the technology standpoint, it's you know, not been as bad as maybe some might expect, given the fact that, you know, we have these tools available where people can join in and share information virtually.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate maybe that's going to have some long-term ramifications, that once this is all over, that you're just going to continue doing this and maybe do less travel and replace it with some technology solutions?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think, you know, in all of this, what's shown a lot of us is that, you know, there are other ways to do business rather than, you know, having to go into the office every day or things like that. I think what it's going to do is probably maybe it'll adjust how we do things in the sense of we might have more virtual meetings and things like that. But that face-to-face interaction is key, and particularly in cultures where that's important. I don't see that we would do less. We might do it a little bit differently as far as timing goes. But, you know, with some of these areas, particularly in Asia, where they're, like, for example, in Japan, one of our partners, they're trying to do more remote stuff, which has been a little bit of a challenge for them in particular. And even some of the partners I've talked to in Italy, where it is a very face-to-face culture, you know, they've been challenged. But I think once we can get through all of this, a lot of them are still going to go back to that face-to-face interaction, maybe doing things a little differently, but I don't really see it impacting how we do it or how we travel, you know, from that standpoint. Maybe wear a mask on a plane. I don't know, but I don't see how this isn't going to impact us all. I mean, it's really given us all kind of an opportunity to step back and, you know, look at how we're able to do business and how we can be a little more flexible from that standpoint.
Yes, very definitely. What are some of the most important applications and other tools that you're using to keep in touch with each other at MDaemon, with your partners, with your customers and prospects, that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, obviously, as an email developer, you know, that's our number one tool for communication. And you know, ironically, you know, over the years, we've done business with a lot of partners globally that we hadn't even met, but communicated over email and things like that. But, you know, with some of the tools now, with, you know, the video conferencing tools, things like that, whether it's GoToMeeting or Zoom and other tools, when we're dealing with technology partners and things like that, we're starting to use that a little bit more just to have that visual connection, screen sharing, things like that. So those, I think, have become, you know, more apparent. I think all of us that have used audio conferencing and things, you know, it's not that unusual, but I think using some of the video has been more important. Interestingly, we'd been working recently with a company out of Norway that had been developing some kind of a federated video system, particularly for MDaemon. And we're working with them now because for companies that, you know, have some security concerns or don't necessarily want to have the information, the meetings out into a public cloud environment, they've seen kind of a niche in that market. And so we're working with them to do a little bit more and see if we can get this out into the MDaemon ecosystem. And I think that presents some opportunities, particularly in this kind of environment where, you know, some companies have that kind of a need. So I think from that standpoint, and then probably just from an IT standpoint, most companies, if, you know, have some sort of disaster recovery setup where they've, you know, have some, you know, co-location facilities, things like that, virtual environment. So I think as technology companies, we probably are better prepared to weather some of this than, you know, some of the other companies that where technology is not their primary focus.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. How do you think this crisis is going to have an impact on your IT infrastructure, solution choices, and so forth once all of this is done?
Well, like I said, I think this whole environment is really giving business owners and managers within organizations kind of a pause to kind of look of how they're doing business. I think, from an infrastructure standpoint, we're always looking to make sure we've got things set up in a way that there's proper redundancy and things like that. As far as the solution choices, obviously, like I mentioned, looking at things that have the flexibility for, remote communication, primarily outside of the traditional scope of email where everybody's using that or they're using some other collaboration tools for real-time collaboration. I think the video obviously is getting the biggest benefit out of this for the visualization of seeing people, if you've seen on LinkedIn, a lot of companies are posting their virtual meetings and things. And so I think that's probably going to have more of an impact on how people look at how they're going to get together, knowing that they don't always have to be physically there. But again, I don't think that's going to be replaced. But I think it's given us all an opportunity to really think of how we're doing business, how we're doing commuting, how we're communicating. I think in times like this, more communication is better. And that's something that we've been trying to do a lot with both customers and partners, and particularly partners that we've been dealing with for a number of years, because they're like family to us. And often we're just making sure that, they're okay and they haven't been impacted, particularly in some of these hard hit countries that like China and Italy and Germany and Spain. I think it's a reminder of how important the ongoing communication is with the customers and the partners that you work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly makes sense. Well, great. Well, Kevin, I thank you very much for joining us on the podcast here today, and look forward to speaking with you again.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me. It was great talking to you.